this is Blue, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, episode 170, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date is 8:48 p.m. Central Time. The date, 8/12/2019, also known as August 12th. This is going to be the best episode ever, as we have lots to discuss. We'll have E-News, as always, our weekly segment of things that we just don't have a whole lot of time to get to, or there's just not enough to talk about, but we still want to bring it up. So we'll always end the show with that. Open for sponsorship, too. I mean, you know, if you're a company, you want to get your name out there on the number one esports podcast, dare I say, in the galaxy, prove me wrong, you hit us up. We'll talk. E-News brought to you by Anuj's mom. We're going to talk Twitch, a little different than our normal esports chatter, but man, I still think it plays a part in the scene. And Twitch is all over the map, whether it be for good news, some partnerships, or terrible news with old partnerships. So we're going to talk that. A little bit of CWL preview, kind of CWL in memory, if you will, as we say goodbye to what we know for Call of Duty. And are we just over Battle Royale games? We'll discuss here to start the show. But before we do that, be sure and follow us on Twitter. At The Center Ring. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you like the show. And if you don't, why not? What can we do? What can we do to get you? And if you listen on iTunes, go ahead and rate it. Be gentle. Leave a comment. Let us know what's up. That helps us out immensely on that front as well. Or so I'm told. Don't know. iTunes doesn't really give you that information. But I know it makes me feel good. So I'd appreciate if you did so. And speaking of me, hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain on this journey into esports. And alongside me, as always, is my best friend in the whole wide world. It is Anuj. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, bud? Excited to be here.
Man, I am ready. I'm feeling good. It's kind of a downtime in esports as we lead up to the CSGO Major, and I don't know why that is, but maybe it's just because now we actually had to think of talking points today. It's going to be a very good episode. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling ready.
CSGO Major is going to, like, have its own shrine. Today, we got some pretty, like, good newsworthy topics, right?
Of
like,
course.
A little different than, like, breaking down the esports game or the tournament
coming up. You know, if you're a longtime TCR listener, you know, when there's a CSGO Major, it's, like, minimum 3 or 4 episodes straight of nonstop, beautiful, intense, sometimes emotional CSGO action. So that is just around the corner as Berlin is quickly approaching. You got the TI this weekend, so you know we're definitely going to talk about that next week. And so just a lot of esports just coming at you really quick. On the non-esports side, I was kicking and screaming all the way to do it, but I'm glad that Anuj convinced me. Is I wasn't going to get into Classic WoW. I wasn't going to do it because for the longest time in my life, WoW has sucked away so much time and money. But you convinced me to try out the beta, and of course I'm hooked now. We registered our names today. So if you are planning into playing WoW Classic, we are rolling as Alliance on what server?
Feralina.
Feralina, I think is how
that's
you pronounce
properly.
It. It's you know it if you see it. So that is if you're into that, go ahead, pick up Alliance or Horde, and we'll see you in the BGs. So we're gonna play that though, the group of us and a couple of buddies. So if you're into it, let us know. We would love to play with some listeners, of course, some good WoW action. Another little show update. Of course, we are going to start streaming and doing more content. Part of that content was every Wednesday I'm in like an Overwatch community match. We can't call it a league, I'm told, because Blizzard doesn't like that. They're the only ones with an Overwatch league. So it's a community of Overwatch players and teams that are ran very similar to your typical beer league in hockey or pickup men's league or, you know, whatever. Insert your sport. You know what it is. So we were streaming, or I streamed the matches on Wednesday. Well, I think I set a new record. So everyone, all our listeners will be happy to know TCR is represented pretty darn well in the record books. I made it 2 weeks before I got told to calm down and I had to delete my VODs because I got a little carried away. Go figure. So for future reference, I'll be streaming the matches still, but during the match itself, like actual gameplay in between maps and everything is a different story. But I'm just going to have to mute the comms. So I won't be able to talk to chat and you won't be able to hear us, but that's just for the betterment of the team is really what it comes down to.
I got a chance to tune in. If you're not going to watch it for Overwatch, get in for this team drama because it's exciting, man. Y'all come with hitters every week. I love it. That's like part of the fun
for
me. Is,
you know, we're passionate.
A team that wants to win has got some fiery folk on that team. If you want to come for the drama, you can stay for the show.
And like I said, you won't be able to hear in match comps because you get a little hyped up, get a little too intense. And just for the sake of our team not being forced to forfeit matches or me just being banned entirely, I'm going to mute them in the moment. Because in the moment, Tim runs his mouth. And you know what? It's not the first time in my life I've gotten my hand slapped for running my mouth. You know, I played hockey. The difference in hockey is you can fight people if you run your mouth and everyone has fun afterwards and go to the bar after. Like, no one cares. And this is a little different. Okay, so all right.
Aggressive typing.
Like, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not going to repeat what I said. I didn't think it was that bad. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? We'll leave it at that. The VODs are dead. So next week, different week, and we'll have more fun. So there's that. There's that. A little peek behind the curtain. But buddy, let's get into some esports talk, shall we? I will also apologize if the listeners, if you can hear my fan in the background, don't care today. Too damn hot, all right? It's like a week of 100 plus here in Dallas, Texas. So guns out, fans out. It's too damn hot.
I'm surprised it's not the Cloud 9 one.
It's in the wash. I gotta get... I've decided my Cloud 9 tank top will be the first shirt that my baby ever sees me in. Huge honor from Cloud 9. You know, I'm surprised that they're not asking me to come on their show.
It would have been relevant for the topic today.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Cloud 9 always seems to be pretty relevant in all of our episodes.
They find their way in, man. They find their way in for sure.
They do. And speaking of Cloud 9, they are going to kind of be the kickoff of our first topic of today's show, where I ask the question, are we over BRs? And when I say we, I don't mean we as players, but we as an esports community, as brethrens. Are there not enough room for what everyone thought was going to be the next dominating genre? And that was Battle Royales. Just last week, we said in E! News that Cloud9 ended up dropping their PUBG team, and we kind of joked, well, yeah, after you see the Fortnite World Cup and what they did, and then you look at what PUBG's been doing lately, why even bother? Well, a few days after that, they announced that they're dropping their Apex Legends team. And that got me thinking. That got my ears perked up a little bit and said, uh-oh, that's one of the biggest orgs, if not the biggest org in esports, dropping two Battle Royale teams. Like, at first, you're like, okay, PUBG, they're dropping them. They're going to pick up new players. No big deal. But then you drop two teams from the same genre? That's a trend, my friend.
And you're like, is there financial problems? You know, like,
right.
What's going on?
Cloud9,
you know?
So you don't have to worry about that.
And then all of a sudden, you hear that they sign a, like, team tactics team.
Yep, team fight tactics. Yep, a TFT team. So in, like, hours after announcing Apex was gone, they announced this roster. So it's clearly not just trying to make room for something. It is making room for something, but not financial-wise, right? It's just they wanted to put that roster money into a different roster, into a different game. and a different genre, which is this new auto chess, you know, team fight tactics, Dota Underlords. I'm pretty sure there's like another one out there. But it all started with Dota Auto Chess, right? And that mod and everything there. So that got me thinking, have we turned that corner, Anuj, that esports are over Battle Royale games? Have they written them off, other than Fortnite, which we'll get to later? Because you got to think, you have games like the first one, competitive wise, of course, you had like Arma mods and DayZ and stuff, but those were almost so early on, like they weren't widely.
It just wasn't it's nowhere near where it is today.
No, I mean, it wasn't as widely.
They were considered mods. I mean, that's what they were.
It easily, right?
They weren't standalone games. You had to buy other games.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
those kicked off the genre, sure, call it what it is. But the first real BR that I remember thinking, oh, okay, and like the word esport was thrown around or competitive, was H1Z1. That went through its ups and downs to the point now it's always down. It started its league, right? It was going to be based in Vegas. And I mean, we even on this show were like, what? Like, you guys have been irrelevant forever. And now you're making this league that had big names in it and big money, and okay, it's going to be off of Vegas and have TV deals, and what the hell is going on here? I'm not going to lie, when we were doing our show prep and you made the list of Battle Royale games, I forgot H1Z1 was even a thing.
And it's like sad, because like you said, they were the first to the show, right? They had an opportunity to, they had the market. The game exploded. It did really well. I mean, from a consumer standpoint, the game did a really good job, right? I mean, it was so popular. Everybody that I knew at the time was playing it.
I remember I held out on PUBG because I told myself, no, I'm an H1Z1 guy. Like, I like this game more, so I'm not going to get suckered into another BR.
No, it felt good. I agree. And then, you know, with H1Z1, it's kind of had the same struggles that you see in a lot of the BR games that kind of succeeded it, where you ran into the same sorts of issues, network problems or glitches or some sort of, like, you know,
just hack, not polished.
You know, they didn't feel great, right? You accepted it for what it was, but then you thought of it from like more of an esports perspective. It's always been difficult for two things. Like, it doesn't seem polished when you watch it, and it's hard as a spectator sport. Like, 100 people on a battlefield, it's not easy to capture all the action quickly, right? And so from there, you know, you kind of run into PUBG, which again took the market by storm. From a consumer standpoint, it broke all the records on Steam at the time, right? I mean, it was 5 million, 10 million, you know, concurrent users on Steam, which was like unheard of, you know? And so same kind of issue, like they were slow in just progressing and fixing what needed to be fixed. And you keep on seeing the next big thing kind of come in and overtake one another.
When PUBG first came out, though, I felt like there has never been a game that has gotten more chances than PUBG. Like, I really do think people still, say what you want about it, want that game to be good. Like, they really want PUBG to be that published game. And when you think of it, like, because like H1Z1, originally it was being developed by Sony Entertainment. So like that was like your first, like, oh man, we got a big player in here, right? Like, Sony money is going to be able to fix this. Well, they quickly sold it off to Daybreak, and it just kind of went down the hill from there. Or not down the hill. That's probably not fair to say, but they just don't have the money or power.
They haven't met expectations since then.
They just don't have the resources, I think, as when they got it from Sony. Right, like, I remember they completely reworked stuff and like made it from the ground up almost. And I just think it was too big of a ambition or project for them. PUBG, obviously, player unknown. He was part of the person who helped make that DayZ or the Arma mod.
Arma mod, right? Yeah.
So he had like the Battle Royale background that kind of started it all, which obviously if you look at PUBG, like, it looks very similar to what Arma looked like if you were watching it on the Battle Royale mod. And even now, like, they come out with this new update that is supposed to be this crazy graphical update, make things play smoother. They've adjusted some of the map and everything so it plays better. And now you hear, like, it really didn't help anything, and in some situations have made it worse for players.
They've continued to have a networking issue, you know, with that game especially. And then you see it with that and Hackers, right? In a lot of these BR games, you kind of run into that issue like you do with a lot of FPSs. And they haven't been able to crack down on either one of those. So a bad playing experience causes the majority of the player base to move on to other games. Like people like Shroud and all that, I feel like really want to play PUBG. Yeah. They continue to go back on stream and check it out, see what it's like.
It is the only quote-unquote realistic BR game out there.
Yeah, like a military sim-style BR game, right, yeah, where you're using proper guns. Fortnite is a BR game, but it's very different. It's a building game.
Yeah.
That, you know, shooting is almost secondary in that game, which is not a bad thing. It's just different.
It's not a different game.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
You know, the sad part is PUBG still has a chance to take over the BR market and do really well. They just need to put out a better product, and they haven't been able to do that. I know they're trying, but like you mentioned, they just haven't proven the ability to do so. I think there's room for more than one popular BR game in esports. You know, I don't think it has to be, oh, is it going to be PUBG or is it going to be Fortnite? Esports has shown the ability to welcome in any game. Mm-hmm. If it's worth bringing in, right? Yeah, I mean, like, we're not.
It doesn't take away time. Like it makes no effort for me to have two streams up of two games that I like.
Between Call of Duty, Rainbow Six, Counter Strike. I mean, those are three of the top, you know, games in esports, and they're all FPS games, right? You have Dota and you have League, both have proven to be sustainable, and so
those are way more similar than like say PUBG and Fortnite.
Like, so going back to the original question is, are we over BRs? I think we're over the ones that we currently have. I think Fortnite obviously is not going anywhere. Although, again, they prove to every time they do something good, they kind of slap themselves in the face, right? The Fortnite World Cup was amazing. I mean, the way we talked about
it, everyone was super. I mean, we were saying, like, we're proud of you, Fortnite. You represented esports well.
And the way we talked about it on the show, you would think both of us are fans of the game, you know, when realistically, like, you don't really enjoy the game outside of...
No, update. I re-downloaded Fortnite, and me and Anuj played this weekend. Still sucks.
So,
the game again, is still awful.
The way we talked about it when we talked about the World Cup was just positive and raving reviews. Then you go into Season 10, and they add a mechanic to the game with these mechs or whatever they are, and it's completely changed the playstyle. So consistency is different for Fortnite. It's not, you know, physical or server based or something, right? I guess you could say it's just in-game play. But yeah, these other ones just haven't been able to get the Islands of Nine, another great example.
Like, these are and Islands of Nine, and yeah, like, so we've talked about like the top ones, right? H1Z1 started it all, you know, for our conversation. It did. PUBG tried to perfect it, never could. Fortnite took an idea and made it their own, and which is obviously the more widely popular one, and you know, you can call it definitely a success. Isles of Nine, Realm Royale, I know there's some others that I'm missing, but like that's the other thing, right? Is like there have been other types of BR games that have came out. Islands of Nine was one that just I actually liked it. I really enjoyed Isles of Nine, but it just never took off. Like, Shroud played it a couple times, and I think, like, that kind of gave it life at the start. But as soon as he was done, I mean, no one played it. And I liked the shooting mechanic behind it, but the issue is, I mean, and let's be real, Fortnite benefits from this a lot, is some of these developers creating these games, they just don't have the money or the resources to get their game out there. You know, if Islands of Nine all of a sudden pulled out $1 million tournament, like, do you think all of a sudden that player base would go up? Of course it would. And it's the same thing with Fortnite. Yeah, okay, your opinion is Fortnite's a fun game. That's fine. My opinion is also, though, that it got a lot more eyeballs on it after the World Cup when people were winning $3 million. And even before that, when they announced it, and before that, they announced how much, of the prize pools for all their events were for the year. And, you know, like, money does talk. Money does produce results. And so far, I think, like, for some of these BR games, like, they just, to no fault of their own, you're going up against the big dogs. You're going up against Epic, like AAA developers over here. Like, your game could be the best game out there. It's just a shame that no one's going to give it the time of day because, A, it's just that's not how video games work anymore, right? You come out with an early access game, no one cares that it's early access. It's out, right? You play it, and your opinion is created from that point. And they don't have the time or resources to do anything with it.
Well, what do you think it would take to kind of put some energy back into the genre outside of Fortnite?
I mean, I think PUBG. Because like we said, PUBG still has a player base. It's just getting it right, you know? And I think it's the issue is like they're just not willing to accept that some of the mistakes they've made down the road. Like, we don't need as a big of map as they have. Like, you don't have to have a map that takes 45 minutes to play in a BR game. Like, that's a really long time to play for a BR game. And especially,
but they've made shorter, smaller versions of maps. Like,
and I think people have liked them.
Yeah.
The issue is, though, you're still, you know, like, little quality of life, right? Like, you go from playing... Oh, you know, another game we haven't even brought up was Apex. Apex Legends is another perfect example of trying to twist it and doing okay, right? But go play Apex, right? Phenomenal game. I love it still, despite what people say. But like the quality of life in Apex of picking up guns and picking up attachments and the attachments automatically going to a new gun that you might pick up or things like that. The inventory system. And then go back to PUBG. PUBG feels archaic. And this isn't just like me complaining and crying to make it easier. I'm just saying make it smoother. Because, like, that inventory system is archaic at this point. Like, you're talking about competition. I need speed. I need to get up and go. I need to look. I don't need to be like, okay, let me move my scope over here. Let me take off all my attachments to pick up this gun. It's, I don't know.
No, so, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree in the sense that I do think we have a BR game that should be the next big one outside of, hey, we need a new one in this genre. And I think it is Apex. For that very reason, I think with Apex, you do have enough speed in the game to make it kind of compelling to watch from a viewer standpoint. It doesn't feel sluggish when you watch it.
The matches are about 15 to 20 minutes.
That's where my only problem is, actually. It's not the speed of the matches, but kind of the reverse of what you said about PUBG is I think Apex's map feels a little bit too small to me. I think a game that promotes third-partying. And what I mean by that is when two teams engage, it's incredibly easy in that game to rotate when you hear firing, right? If you hear shots going off, and even if they're a couple hundred meters out, you know, with a Pathfinder or the right team setup, you can make your way there fairly quick. And so it kind of stops and kind of kills action a little bit in that sense because you're going to be more hesitant to engage. But I think Apex has all the tools that you need to be a great esport. I think it's fast, it's visually appealing. I think they need to do a better job with their costumes and, you know, skins and things of that sort, right? I think they have the ability to do more. They should take a note from Epic, maybe not on the cartoony side, but in terms of uniqueness. I want to feel unique when I pay $10 for a skin. I don't want to feel like, oh, it's just a little bit better than the free one you gave or I got or whatever. But yeah, in terms of the game, it's so smooth. Transition between picking up weapons is very nicely done. Inventory management is simple. There's not too many attachments kind of throughout the game, so it's fairly simple.
But remember, so the whole point of this discussion wasn't or not we were tired of it, right? Because I think as players, like if you make the game fun again, people will go back to play. But it's just, can that genre withstand this lack of esports? Because it's the world we live in now where like Twitch views and esports hype and everything can kind of make or break your game. You know, point in case, again, look at Fortnite. You know, with the views and everything they had from the World Cup has gotten a lot more people hype, where Apex, their one chance of making a TV debut, got pulled because of, you know, political and business decisions. But nonetheless, like weeks after Fortnite just saw these world record breaking views, Apex was like, no, you're too violent, on to the next one, right?
Yeah, but Apex has at least shown recently the willingness to kind of put themselves out there a little bit more, right, by creating the Pro League. So yep. That gives it an opportunity to prove itself. I think having a pro league, and we've talked about this in every esport, I think it's so important that you have some sort of pro league. I think it's very difficult to have a Fortnite model and be successful. That game is just beyond big, so it can do what it wants to do right now. But I think most games, you got to have some sort of pro league, and then it gives you a reason to kind of follow. Right now, all these teams just feel like streamer teams to me, right? They're very good players. Don't get me wrong. They're all very skilled and pro right. players in that sense. But it feels like I'm watching.
Fortnite kind of felt like that before the World Cup, didn't it?
Yeah. Like, it was like just streamers, a bunch of streamers that were really good at the game. So I think the pro league will help. And that would pull me back a little bit from saying like, hey, I'm kind of over this iteration of BR games. Like if Apex was good and Fortnite continues to stay where it's at, two from one genre isn't bad. I think I would like it to be PUBG personally in the mix, just because I enjoy the way that game is played, but they have so far to go. I don't see them ever being able to pull it back.
Yeah. And I guess only time will tell too. Like if Cloud9 is just the start of a trend that we see. Cause again, now you have this new genre and this auto chess business going on, and that offers a lot of quality. People are familiar with the look of it, being that it's branching off of Dota and League of Legends, and you know, it just seems like a safer bet, right? People want to get ahead of it right now, and then they'll come back to Apex or PUBG later on. But
look, it's as simple as you make a good game, you get viewers, you get organizations interested in being involved in your league. I mean, there, it's not, you got to put a good product out there first and foremost, and people will not just stay invested like in PUBG, and not to say Apex isn't trying or doing it, but you know, like I said, PUBG's had more chances than anybody. And so to see groups pulling out of there doesn't surprise me. I think the Apex move definitely does. I'm guessing they're not involved in Pro League. They were never involved with the Pro League to begin with, is
I wish I
fair
could
assumption.
Tell you.
Yeah.
I haven't really paid too much attention to the Apex Pro League or anything like that. But either way, I just thought it was very interesting dropping two BR teams in 1 week and then picking up an auto chess team. It just got me kind of thinking, like, is this the beginning of the end for BRs, like for teams picking up multiple, you know, like just having a team in every type of BR out there? So we'll only
what's
time
our
will
future
tell.
What's our future coverage going to be like of auto chess? From the center ring, what can our fans expect in the future of auto chess podcast?
Just give me like 5 seconds, okay?
We're not
there yet. There you heard it. Right there. You just got a sneak peek of our coverage of auto chess games. You're welcome. You're welcome, listeners. Now, I have fun playing them. I think they're excruciatingly boring to watch.
Yeah.
And to me,
I agree.
You want to take RNG on another level? Like, competitive Hearthstone and everything, like, that is different, right? I mean, yes, a card game is all RNG, but like it's kind of also learning, like, and adapting and everything. Not only do you have like, it's almost like Hearthstone, right? It's what drove me insane about Hearthstone is, so not only do I have to fight through the RNG of getting this card, but then on the card, it says, will randomly hit between 1 and 4 enemies for 2 to 8 damage. I'm like, okay, so I finally got this random card I needed, and now you're telling me it's going to randomly hit an enemy with a random amount of damage? And that's almost like auto chess to me. It's like, okay, so now I finally got this hero that I wanted, but I need him to attack this particular hero first, and for whatever reason, he goes to his right and not to the left, and it just completely butchers any type of strategy I had, and I had no control over that. Like, the computer does most, like, I would say 60% of the work in an auto chess game.
Yeah, auto chess, I think, will mesh well with the card gaming community, because, like I said, it kind of feels like just a live version of one in that sense.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't mind, like, if you want to have it, say, at an event like TI, and you almost want to do, like, a
show
precursor
match.
Or just like a side stage or like a precursor event leading up to, you know, the actual Dota matches. And you're like, hey, we have pros here and we're going to do a giant auto chess tournament here, whatever, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like something like that would, I think, would be cool. Just to, again, celebration of that game and genre, or for, you know, League, have it at one of their LCS matches and things like that. But my personal take on them is just they're just boring. They're boring to watch.
Clip this and we'll come back in a year and see how wrong we were when this was on in a stadium with 30,000 people.
Yeah, we'll be dead wrong, and you know it. You know, that's the beauty of esports. You just don't know where it's going tomorrow. Hell, Fortnite could do something tomorrow and it just can be completely abandoned. Or some game could come out tomorrow and no one's ever heard of it, right? Esports, man, fun times. And speaking of fun times, this weekend you have the Call of Duty World League Championships. Sad news to report, we won't be there. We really, really almost were there. We had our press passes, which, by the way, CWL, love you. Thank you for inviting us out there. Next time, don't do it 2 weeks before your event because LA's pretty expensive. And also, for all you listeners out there, in case you didn't know, having a baby is a lot of work. And given that I'm like 3 weeks out of having mine, my weekends are kind of spoken for at this point. So lots of little things to get done. So that's just a long way of saying we're going to be watching from home. But I did want to go because, you know, we were kind of debating, you know, should we just bite the bullet and pay last minute airfare and hotel fees and everything there? Because you were saying, well, you know, maybe we should just save the money for next year, CWL, given that it will be the first one with franchising. And then I was making the case that, well, this will be the last one without franchising. And this will be the last time you see some of these teams. Like, Evil Geniuses have already came out and said, like, they're not going to be part of franchising. I think you were telling me yesterday that there are reports that there will only be 8 teams in the league.
Yeah, and I got to, like, make sure that that's right. So, that's what I thought I saw. And maybe that's just the ones that they have confirmed up to this point.
Right. Yeah, I guess wording and everything could go up really to 12. Play.
Yeah, so that would make a big difference there. So don't 100% quote me on that. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously going to be different. You know, next year is going to be very different. I should start off with I'm very excited for next year. I think next year is going to be amazing for the Call of Duty community. I mean, not counting just what they're doing with the franchising model, but also the game that's coming out and all that. I'm just very excited to see what the future holds for it. But back to this event, this one is going to hold a special place in a lot of people's hearts, right? Because like you said, you are going to have a lot of people that have favorite teams that they're tied to that are just going to really no longer exist within the Call of Duty professional community. Yep. They may be there in some one-off leagues, maybe that MLG is hosting or whatever it may be, but it's not going to be the same.
Contenders league, if you will, like how they do with Overwatch, right? You can keep your branding in a contenders league, like Envy has an Envy team in contenders. But even then, for like some of these teams that are moving on to it, right? We don't know how the branding's going to work. Well, we know the rules behind them, but we don't know what's going to happen with franchising. Like, will LA be the LA Optics and they'll have Optic Gaming's logo or anything? We just don't know how that's going to play out. So as a fan, I would suggest that you just take this moment in. That's why I said I'm really bummed out that we aren't able to be there because I really wanted to. You know, just to talk to some of these players too. Because, like, you got to think a lot of these players have been here for how many years? How many different versions of Call of Duty and CWL and everything that they've gone through with these same guys seeing, you know, the teams and going through these giant pools. I mean, there's what, 8 pools of 4 right now? So, like, when you think of, you know, how 32 teams in this World League, I mean, are we ever going to see something like this again for Call of Duty when it comes out, like with next year's franchising?
It would really have to be an incredible first year for them to go from whatever the number it is, 8 to 12 teams, let's just say, in that range.
Yeah, Fortnite started with 12, so we can use that as an example.
Oh, you mean Overwatch?
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm saying, like, Overwatch League started with 12, so if you just want to
Fortnite. Yeah, no, Overwatch, yeah. Overwatch started with 12, so you could use that as at least a baseline. They're probably not going to exceed that, right? The Call of Duty's been around much longer. I think Fortnite had a lot more hype going into it because it was kind of new and fresh. So Overwatch, now I did it. Wow. Overwatch had a lot of hype going into it behind its professional league and Call of Duty, I think, obviously a little bit more established, which is different. But yeah, I think we will never see a tournament this big within the Call of Duty pro scene. Not at 32 teams, obviously 16 being professional, 16 being amateur. Those amateur teams will, like you said, most likely be in some sort of contender type pool, but with less teams also means less players, right? So for a lot of fans out there, this could also be the last time that you're seeing one of your favorite players in a professional type setting. If they don't have an opportunity to play on a pro team, they may have to either call it quits or find another opportunity within esports. But yeah, for a lot of fans, it could be the last time they're seeing some of their favorite professionals out there. For this tournament, however, I think they're going to get one hell of a show. I mean, the way that this is set up, like you mentioned, it's an 8-round robin format groups, right? So 4 teams in each one. Top 2 will advance to the knockout stage. Knockout stage is held this weekend. Double elimination bracket and a best of 5 finals. And so, you know, with that, with the teams that we have in play, I don't know if you've seen the brackets or have the brackets pulled up in front of you.
I have the groups, yeah. The groups here in front of me.
One of the best, and we're obviously not going to run through all of this because it's too many teams to do, but I think it's one of the best layouts in the sense I can't find a group of death looking through it.
Man, I was going to say, like, honestly, the groups are so well placed out. Like, maybe you can say Pool G with Optic and Evil Geniuses. Like, that, to me, might be your tougher group, but even then, like, Evil Geniuses hasn't been amazing this year.
And the two teams that they're going against in the bottom tier, they should be able to stomp.
The bottom tiers just seem so bottom tier. That's the issue.
They're like very much amateur teams.
You feel like should probably get through.
Yeah.
In any pool.
100%.
In any pool, the top seeded teams should probably make it through.
Yeah, and there's no way you shouldn't see the top ranked team from each tier not be there, right? So even if you do have an upset, I don't see it being the number one seed in any bracket. So I would anticipate having a really stacked knockout stage. And some of the big storylines that, you know, people should look forward to looking into this, you obviously have United coming off of a fantastic performance down in, Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clayster obviously getting to hoist the trophy after 1400 days of not having one when his last one was, I believe, on FaZe. So for them, just to see what they're able to do in this event, I think would be fun to see. Although I think should they not win it, this is still going to be a successful year for them, right? Like, they got one under their belt. I think that's really important.
Well, like we said too, like in the last one, like they are quite possibly the last Call of Duty World League season champions, right? Like, they finished out the league on top, so
definitely a high note for them.
United, or it's cool to see like a historic team, an org in the Call of Duty scene to win it, right? Like,
yeah,
no knock, like, don't get me wrong, the story of, you know, hybrid gaming winning this tournament would be pretty amazing, but it would also really be cool to see a team like Optic or 100 Thieves or FaZe or E United or any of these, you know, teams that have just been in there to take it.
Yeah, 100 Thieves is going for a potential like repeat in the season, right? Not not commonly done, I would think, in Call of Duty. I'm not a historian of it, but I just don't think that that's something that happens often there. Gen G, a team that's placed second, what, 2-3 times now this season? I'd have to go look that up, but I know they've at least done it twice this year.
Yep, and they play second in Anaheim and at the Pro League playoffs.
Yeah, so I mean, a team like them, this would be what a great opportunity for them to really finally get one in, and for it to be this one would obviously mean a lot. You know, the Optic lineup, you can't say enough about that lineup. There's so much history within that team with Damon and Crimsix and these guys like Karma. These guys are legends of the game, and who knows where they end up.
You're acting like you're just best buds with them.
I talked to him just yesterday, sent him an email. I haven't heard back, but I think we got a pen pal thing going on there. We'll see what happens.
I think the issue, your first issue there was that you sent an email to a 26-year-old pro gamer. I can't imagine they check their emails too often.
It was info@opticgaming.com. I think that's what he gave me. So we'll see what kind of bounce back I get there. But yeah, I mean, just a lot of good storylines across the board. A lot of good teams are going to have a chance to play on the big stage this weekend. And so that should be enough for you to tune in and definitely check it out.
So we don't have to get into the details here, but we'll just go for all the glory here. Who do you have winning it? I mean, obviously, ooh, there is so much that has to happen between now
and this
weekend. It almost seems idiotic to tell me who you think is going to win it. But that's why it's just give me a winner and we can go from there.
All right. I'm gonna go with Gen G. I think they're going to finally climb that hill. I think they have shown so much consistency throughout. So I would like for them to be the team to get in. I think they have a great opportunity to do so.
I think E United is going to carry over from where they did in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, me and Clayser are best friends. Funny sure. enough, like you were talking to Karma. He actually called me and was like, hey, Peace Room, buddy. I was watching your video from when we played Battalion together.
And watching that body save.
It just got me so hyped up. I'm feeling it going in. I was like, dude, I know exactly what you mean. So I think that's really there. I mean, they were just dominant throughout the whole season, right? Like they were top seed going into the playoffs. They won the playoffs. I think that will carry it over.
But you're right. They haven't had a bad showing
in
any of the major events this year, except for Anaheim. They placed fifth, sixth in Anaheim. So other than that, one, they were second again in London. So they've had a really great year. Yeah, again, for them, it wouldn't be surprising. And what a way for Clayster to kind of end, you know, this era in COD with coming out with back-to-backs after, you know, being away from the top for so long. Yeah, so.
Being away for so long. And, you know, you wonder, too, like, how – we just don't have the answers to these questions. Or maybe we do and I don't know it. But, like, with franchising, say E United buys a slot. I mean, can they just sign this roster? Is that a thing, or are they going into like a free agency pool? Or
Overwatch was able to sign full rosters. Spitfire brought over the full roster.
They bought like the two top rosters in Korea, and then kind of worked it out from there.
Yeah, I don't think it's like you go into a draft
when you think about it.
A draft would be the way to go.
Dude, if you want to get hyped, like if that would be
hype. Oh my gosh, that would be something.
That would shake up the scene.
Dude, start that hashtag. Let's get something going for those. Let's get this trending.
CWL draft. Make it happen, Activision, or MLG, or whoever the hell runs your league. I can't keep track with how many times they switch over and who decides what there, but. Either way, that's this week. If you're going, let us know. We would love to hear your thoughts. You'll be able to also test out the new Call of Duty coming out. So let us know how that goes. One last topic to talk about, and that's this Twitch drama, I guess you could say, going on. Twitch has been not only in like our news. When I say our news, I mean like Reddit and Twitter, but like real news. Because they just can't seem to do anything right lately.
Yeah.
Going from that, and I don't know names. I don't keep up with all the streamer drama. I'm going to be real with you, listeners. I don't keep up with it. I don't really care. But you had that one streamer, that chick who like threw her cat and then like...
Alinity.
What was her name?
Alinity.
All right.
A-L-I-N-I-T-Y. Alinity.
I was very interested in the story though. Let me tell you, wouldn't mind taking her out to a nice seafood dinner and just talk about it, right? Just get some scoops for the show. But she threw her cat, and then like later came out videos where she was like spitting vodka in the cat's mouth, and that started all this drama of animal abuse on Twitter or on Twitch and everything. Well, Twitch never really did anything about it. Go figure. And then just historically have always had it where like their terms of agreement have always been really wishy-washy, like chick streamers, and I'm just gonna come out and say it. They get away with a lot more than other streamers. Like if you are a chick streamer who is attractive,
female.
You get away
female
with
female streamer.
Female, I guess. Yeah, that doesn't sound as. If you're a babe, if you're toots, and you stream on Twitch, you do get away with a little more, right? Like even than like some of the top streamers.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's just...
There's been several instances of it, right? Like in terms of just the bans that we've seen, whether that's for wording, you know, that's been to use inappropriate language on a stream. You've seen them be more lenient towards females in regards to that. Again, the animal abuse. I feel like, I mean, this is just such a big Twitch issue. This is not like a gender discrimination issue. It's just the way this company is running.
I'm not trying to be like, women on Twitch, blah. I'm more so saying, like, Twitch, get your side figured out.
Yeah, like, run your company like an adult here. Like, you got to treat both sides equally. The whole latest drama with Ninja is just so fascinating because now you start to really pour some gas onto the fire here, right? I mean, you already have a bad look. People like Keemstar, who is like the TMZ for Twitch and YouTube drama, I guess you could say. You know, he's heavily commenting and weighing in on these subjects as he should with these kinds of topics. But most recently with Ninja, so as if you don't know, Ninja recently left Twitch to go stream full time on Mixer. And obviously this is huge. I mean, Twitch is 90%+ of the viewing audience for streaming. And so for also the a business number one decision, streamer. Yeah. Right. Obviously there's
want to make that
financially
clear.
Motivated. Yeah. This is a financially motivated decision. Ninja was obviously
it wasn't like
heavily...
Ninja decided to take a moral high ground and be like, hey, you didn't do anything against that cat throwing lady.
No.
I'm leaving.
Think of these as separate.
No, he saw that check and was like, oh, bye.
Yeah, Mixer offered him a stack of cash. Think of it, you know, Breaking Bad style type money, I'm sure, here, where Ninja was offered to go over. So he switches over to Mixer to stream full time. Well, what does that leave? It leaves in his wake, it leaves Ninja's Twitch channel. It's still an active channel, right? They did remove, it started off with them removing his Twitch badge, I guess, verification badge.
Yeah.
They removed it immediately after the announcement. Okay, like, we get
There's a reason behind that, though, because, and I learned this via Twitter and conversations, is Twitch does not use their verified check the same as Twitter. Twitter does a verified check so you know that that's a person. Like, you know, like, if I'm verified, then you know I am Pirate Mushroom. I am Tim Krajewski. Twitch does it to confirm partnership. He's a verified partner. Well, if you're a partner, it's part of the agreement that you don't stream on other platforms. So that's why the second they saw him make this announcement, they were like, okay, well, he's no longer a partner. And like
Boom.
His partnership expired from that point.
But and so that generated a lot of buzz though, right? Like it was just in the sense of how immediate it was. And it was like, okay, well, you know, hey, I get it. Move on. Let's kind of go our separate ways. Well, here recently, when you go to Ninja's channel, you hop onto his channel, and instead of it showing previous VODs like it does for other streamers, streamers that are not partners, streamers that are not actively streaming on that platform, it still keeps all their VODs available for people to go watch, or the streamer can host somebody on his channel, can do a number of things. It's still their channel. Well, now when you go to Ninja's channel, it is showing new recommendations for other streamers that are playing Fortnite. Something that's not been done in, you know, previous Twitch engagements with other streamers that have left the platform. So this has obviously generated a hot topic here because there were other things involved. I mean, the number one streaming recommendation that it gave happened to actually be somebody playing porn, and that was the number one trending recommendation on his page. So imagine you go to Twitch, you go to Ninja's page because you want to see a VOD or, you know, whatever. You don't know
maybe
that
you don't,
he's made
maybe
a
you're not caught up with the news, and you're little 12-year-old Jimmy thinking, "Where's Ninja been? Let me go to his stream and test to see what's up."
So Jimmy saw Jimmy if he went to Ninja's stream. Like, I mean, it was the number one post was a dude playing porn, and it was up for hours, like two or three. Well, I don't know if it was hours. It was up for a long enough to where multiple people saw this and it was getting spammed around. So anyways, now accounts are Ninja's lawyers and all that are looking into it. But again, kind of boiling back to Twitch's decision-making, we've seen it really take more heat in the last month than at any point I can remember in Twitch's history. I mean, would you not agree?
Oh, 100%. And I think, you know, with Ninja moving over to Mixer, definitely... Because, like, their poor decision-making and inconsistency for banning people or not banning people, that's always been there. But I think with Ninja moving over to Mixer, it's now shed light on there's other options, right? Before, everyone knew that there was Mixer. Before Mixer, it was, like, Hitbox, which was another streaming platform, which I don't think is around anymore. You have that, what's the other one called? PewDiePie does it. I don't even know the name of it, but PewDiePie uses it for his streaming software or platform. But there are other options now, and I think that's what it's the case. Now, if it's funny because even though like everyone's saying like Twitch is falling apart, they're losing viewerships, and big people are moving over to Mixer, they also just announced in the week that they signed a deal with USA Basketball, which, you know, they already streamed the G League, which is like the mm-hmm. minor league for basketball. USA Basketball, like the national team, will now be streaming their scrimmages and things on there. So, and they even said, like, NBA or whoever is in charge of that have came out and said, like, yeah, because Twitch reaches a crowd that we can't reach. You know, like, it reaches kids. It reaches young adults who spend their time on the computer or on Twitch. They're not going to cable anymore, right? So they are still finding their niche. Like, people are still going to them over Mixer right now. That being said, well, the more and more corporations you get involved, I mean, look what's happening to YouTube, right? You used to be able to post anything on YouTube, anything, and get away with it. Like, apart from like full out porn, you could have posted anything on YouTube. YouTube belly drop, hilarious video we watched in high school. It might not even be there anymore because it's got to be against like YouTube's recent terms and agreement. But it was hilarious to like 13-year-old Tim. But now you have rules, right? Like you can't bring up weed, you can't bring up alcohol, can't bring up gambling. Like Thrive Fantasy, where you can register with the code TCR upon sign up and get $10 for free with your first $10 deposit. You can't even bring that up on YouTube if you're well known. But guess what? If you're the number one esports podcast in the world, they won't mind because they know what power we have. So you can use that at thrivefantasy.com. Use TCR upon sign up and get a free $10 for your first $10. Twitch, I think, is going to find out, like, that's now their consumer, right? Like, us as streamers, we're going to be such small time to them. They're going to realize, just like YouTube did, their clientele is not the people uploading the video. It's the corporations advertising on it. That is their new customer, is the corporations who want to stream on Twitch. And that, of course, and you know what? At this point, I think you can call Ninja a corporation.
This is why Twitch is so salty about the Ninja situation, right? Because when you go to advertisers, what are you selling to them? You're selling to them your content creators, right? It's right. Not just the platform itself. You're like, look at the amount of views we get on our platform because of X, Y, and Z. Well, now Mixer has a lot of ammunition behind them to go to corporations and be like, man, we got Ninja on our platform.
I would love to see how fast Mixer sent out sales decks with Ninja in it. Like,
what do corporations know, right? They don't know 99.9% of streamers, right? You tell TSM Daquan, you walk into a meeting with a bunch of corporate folks, they're not going to know who that is. Tfue, probably not, but
you'll have to show them the numbers.
Yeah, with Ninja. Name recognition is everything.
You don't have to show Ninja's numbers. You just say the name. They know.
Show them Ninja's freaking Samsung commercials and everything else that he's doing and how he's just drawn sales in so many different directions. So,
Can I play devil's advocate, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Twitch is taking a lot of heat, deservingly so. I'm not giving them any type of pass on that. But I also think it's easier when you have the user base Twitch has compared to what Mixer had 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like, of course you're going to have more hooligans and poor decision-making when you have the user base that Twitch has compared to Mixer, which wasn't really, I mean, you know, who even paid attention to what happened on Mixer?
Like, well, the thing is, they have the video evidence, right, of these instances that are taking place. Yeah. So they're choosing to deal with it differently. Yes, you're going to have more opportunity for negative things to happen and to put a negative light on you.
Yeah.
But that's why it's more important to then enforce the rules that you set in place. So if they do happen, people were punished equally. This is not an issue if these instances happen and then these individuals are banned from the platform or banned for X number of months or time, right? Then it's like, well, man, what this person did was a really crappy thing, right? But hey, they're being punished for
yeah,
it. In these instances, they're taking heat because they're not being punished for it. So it's their inability to act, and you know, unwillingness to act, I should say, that's causing all the negative heat and light on Twitch. And I agree. I mean, from Twitch's perspective, I'm not condoning them. They need to punish those individuals that are harassing animals and doing all that BS.
That's part of live video, right? Anything could happen on live video.
You're not controlling that.
Right. If it happens on your platform, that's fine. The issue is what happens afterwards.
What they're doing with Ninja, however, I understand the business case for it. Promoting other channels on Ninja's channels is a smart business move. There's too many eyes there. It's an opportunity for them to take advantage of. Again, the issue here is they need to do that for all streamers then that are not partnered on the channel. There's several examples out there of if you go to what they call a dead channel, right? A streamer that's not actively on the platform, that was on the platform at some point. You can see their VODs. B, you can see if they're hosting somebody. They singled out Ninja in this instance, and that's why this is an issue. Once again, it's their unwillingness to keep it fair across their platform. And so what they're doing with Ninja's channel, I don't have a problem. Hey, Ninja, you went to your other platform. They're paying you. You're not partnered with us. This is our channel. I mean, I guess you have to see what the terms.
Now, do you think he should have a right, though, to opt out of that? Because I think it's still his channel. He can deactivate his channel. I think that's the issue that people lie into now is like, okay, so who owns your channel, right? Does Twitch own your channel or does Ninja own his channel?
But this is only when he's in offline mode. So if Ninja was online and hosting somebody, it wouldn't make recommendations, right? But when the channel is in offline mode, it's making recommendations for other people. So, I mean, I guess it just depends on the wording. And I don't know how a partner contract looks, right? Do you own your channel or is that Twitch's channel
that is the big debate, right? Like, let's use us, for example. We're a podcast. We're in the entertainment world, right? What if they were advertising other podcasts? And we were like, well, hold up. Don't advertise those because we need our listeners to still think that we're good. Like, you go show them another podcast, they're going to be like, well, TCR sucks. Like, let's go watch them. And it's like, I that's where I think people are having issues with it, right? Much like where a lot of people got salty when Twitch did the Twitch commercials and had Ninja in the commercial, right? So it's like right before you're getting ready to watch Summit, you see a commercial for Ninja. Ninja wasn't complaining then. He wasn't complaining.
But those were on active channels. So I also see the difference between somebody that's actively putting content out on your platform.
So you're saying completely dead then. Not offline, but you mean like not
a dead channel.
Back.
Yeah. They're not an active like channel in the sense they don't stream on the channel anymore.
Right. Okay.
So there's offline and there's like a dead channel, right?
Yeah.
So like
if you're just offline, I could definitely see why people having issue with it because you just
if you're a partner or an affiliate or you're just offline, they shouldn't be recommending anything. That's your channel, you're promoting yourself. Like, why do you want them to be promoting others? If you're a dead channel, you're not an active user of the platform, you're not streaming on the platform anymore because of contract obligations and all that, then again, I get it because there's so many eyes on the name Ninja. Like, if they're not doing anything with it, it's not in their best interest. So
I wonder what kind of just views his page still gets on Twitch.
Bro, there's probably people in there still throwing up the Kappa sign right now.
Like, you think like his chat is still just bumping, right?
Do you think it has more active viewers than we have right now?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I don't think Ninja Live has more viewers than we have now.
I would also agree.
We have what? A million? 2 million? It's hard to keep count with how the numbers.
The number is fluctuating real quick. It's hard to see. I'll catch you here in a minute with the screen cap or something.
Yeah. So it's, you know, so I get it. And like I said, I think Twitch is also in this kind of weird, it's long, but a weird growing pain stage where, you know, they started out so small and they were a jump away from Justin TV. And Justin TV was like a life, you just streamed your living room, right? You just streamed life. Whatever. And then people started playing video games on it. And then Justin TV said, well, hold up. why don't we just make something just for video game streaming? So they created Twitch. And then Twitch eventually blew up. Amazon bought them. Now they are what they are today. But I still think you have that trickling effect where, like, Twitch is trying... It's almost reminds me of, like, when, you know, like, Reddit, old Reddit, used to just be, like, really the wild west of the internet, right? Almost like 4chan was, but on Reddit. Well, what Reddit went a little bit more corporate, said, okay, we can't have this fat-shaming subreddit. And we can't really do this subreddit where you just watch people die. Like, these are just inappropriate. You can't have jailbait subreddits anymore. These, we're not, we don't want this to be a part of our image. You can still be funny. We can still have fun, but not that way. And I feel like Twitch is saying all that, but they're still having these admins behind it who are from, like, the Justin TV era or early Twitch era, where they're just like, well, yeah, it's the internet. Get over it. Freedom of speech.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, we can move on. LOL, everyone's laughing. And they're not just putting their foot down saying, like, nope, this is how we're going on now. And I think for viewers, though, I think us as viewers sometimes stick our own foot in our mouths, where sometimes we're like, hey, man, just let people do what they want for fun, right? Like, let Doc just stream and stuff. He went in the bathroom. He wasn't meaning any harm. But then, you know, if this girl who threw her cat over her head wasn't meaning any harm, why all of a sudden is this different? You guys, it's maybe a bad example, but you get what I'm saying, right? It's like, sometimes as viewers, we don't know what we want either. Like, do we want a truly freedom of speech streaming service, or do we want one that tightens up the rules? Well, with tightening up rules, sometimes that's also tightening up content, and, you know, it's a give and take, like anything.
Yeah, but animal abuse is, like, a whole other level, right?
Well, again, like
showing,
I said,
showing a little cleavage
poor example between those two.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, animal abuse should probably always be in the rules of not doing it.
Yeah.
So
there is an interesting rule set that came out from Mixer. I don't know if you saw it regarding, like, clothing and all that.
Yeah.
Really geared towards women in general, obviously, with the clothing rules that they made. Because hard to regulate males. I mean, they said no shirts off for men, right? Like, things like that. You can't be shirtless. But really made a strict rule set that got a lot of backlash. And it's funny because I read the rule set and
it felt normal.
I didn't think it sounded terrible. I was like,
it sounded like they were getting ahead of it, you know?
Well, you know, I looked at it. I was like, oh, okay. It's like I'm thinking it like a business environment, right? Like, we have a clothing dress code at my job. Like, men have to wear slacks and dress shirt, and women have to dress a certain way and can't have, you know, dresses that are X amount, and things like school would have, I guess you could say also.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay. They're running it like a business would want to run their organization and to put out a certain type of product. And it took a lot of heat, which I was surprised for. So maybe kind of, I'm out of touch there, but
again,
it was interesting to see.
I think in some of these cases, no matter what platform you're going to, it's going to be a lose-lose situation on some of these situations, because you're not going to make everyone happy. Clearly, like you said, animal abuse should not be one that you even have to debate. You throw a cat, you spit alcohol down his mouth, whatever. Like, that should be number one, you're banned. Like, simple as that. If Doc can get a month ban or whatever it was for going into the restroom, you think spitting alcohol down an animal's throat would be right behind that as far as getting a ban, but
straight
it wasn't.
Vodka too, like, not even like some good scotch or something, like, just vodka.
Dirty well vodka.
Yeah.
At least
like
be
Skull.
At least be classy with your animal abuse, okay? That's all we ask. Just be classy about it. Oh boy. But either way, you know, I said at the beginning of the show, some esports things behind this, just to kind of twist it up a bit. Competition, right? Like, before, we never had to worry about anyone leaving Twitch for esports. You had ESL try to go to Facebook. We see what happened there. It was miserable. Paladins only streams their esports stuff on Mixer. So maybe we'll start seeing a little bit more, you know, one way or the other, people going to Mixer or anything like that to stream their stuff. So,
and look, we're completely open, Mixer. So if you're listening and you're interested, our price is not that high yet. You can buy in.
Yeah.
You can buy in on the cheap.
I'd say a little lower than Ninja.
We'll give you a good deal. We'll work with you.
So think of what Ninja asked for. It's lower than that. It's lower than that.
We have got our path to affiliate.
That's true. We are. Which we just got to wait on other outside forces to get to that. But, you know how that goes. Or maybe you don't. I don't know. Let's get into some e-news, though, shall we? Brought to you by possibly you. If you are interested in sponsoring e-news or just any part of TCR, hit us up. Our Discord or our Twitter, excuse me, at the Center Ring. DMs are always open. You can also email us, and that's in our Twitter profile as well. So hit us up if you want to have sponsor e-news, sponsor the show. We can do ad reads before, after, whatever. You let us know. We can always open for discussion on that point. But e-news, lots to get to. In CSGO, ECS announced Season 8 details. Some different things coming up. It is going to be NA Finals again. No official word on where. They have not announced that yet. But each region will battle it out in 5 best of 3 knockout brackets to qualify for the ECS Finals. As a change from last season, the first 2 teams to qualify for the ECS Season 8 Finals will be the highest prize money earners from the first 2 weeks of the competition. After that, each week's tournament winners will go directly to the finals. So this is to clear up because last season's format was confusing as hell. This just seems a little confusing, not as confusing. So we'll just wait and see how it goes.
Yeah, still not the easiest read.
No. I'm like, hold on. So the first highest winners, and then, but after that, what if they win the next rounds? And then, but are they playing the next round? Just make it a season. Just make it a normal season. why are we doing this? Overwatch, Toronto Defiant released their head coach, Bishop. Toronto having a rough go. 8-19 as of the end of last week. So that was even after he was let go. They lost over the weekend. Not really going well for them in Stage 4. They picked up Logix, and everyone thought, oh, all right, there's your DPS player. He's supposed to be the greatest of them all. And that's not been the case.
Yeah, 2-2-2 hasn't been kind to everybody.
No. No, it has not. And in fact, 2-2-2, maybe we can do this next week and just talk about 2-2-2 in Overwatch because, you know, I was guilty of it too. You know, oh, watch out, 2-2-2's coming out. You better watch out for so-and-so and XYZ. Well, XYZ and so-and-so aren't really doing much still. And, you know, it's definitely made it more interesting. It's just funny how everyone thought it was just going to destroy the league. And nope, it just turned out your team sucked. It just turned out your team was bad and theirs was better all along. Go figure. The international we discussed earlier is starting in just a few days. Group stage starts August 15th and goes to August 18th. So that kicks off this weekend. The current prize pool, just over $32.5 million.
That's mind-boggling, and I'm jealous every time I look at their numbers each year, just... really on another level, man. This is what an NFL player probably feels like looking at a baseball contract.
Just thinking, I picked the wrong sport.
Like, what could have been?
Wrong sport. And as of I wrote this note, which was last night, the schedule has not been released yet for the TI. So they are keeping that thing close to the belt, waiting for group stage. Like,
still
last
trying
I
to
saw
find
they
out
did...
the time difference between him here in Shanghai. It's taking a minute to calculate.
It's one of these weird ones. So Shanghai is like a 13-hour difference from us in Dallas. So it's like it starts at 8 p.m., which is kind of nice. But then it goes to like 6 a.m. Like it starts at 8 p.m. and goes through the night. So if only this could have waited like a month until my kid arrived, right? This would have been
perfect
newborn watching. But oh well. Oh well. I'll have the major. I'll have the major to keep me up at night. I guess we could have talked about this when talking about Call of Duty. But the... I don't even know how to say this team name. LeBallant Vertex won the CWL Japan National Cup Finals. Anuj, did you even know that was a thing?
I know this team has placed top 64 in a couple of tournaments here for like the US based ones. I didn't know that there was a National Cup Finals though,
no. No. So Japan has their own CWL league apparently, and they have won the not only are they champions, they went undefeated in the Japanese circuit, winning every LAN event. So you are probably asking yourself, well, where have they been? Why aren't they playing in the world coming up here this week? Well, it's because they did play here in America, and the best they did outside of Japan was placed top 32 at Anaheim in London.
Which is like still really impressive.
Still really impressive. I mean,
like, it's like not considering the way like.
But if you were if you came up to me and said, yeah, we kind of swept Japanese, won the championship, no big deal, I would at least expect you to qualify for anything here.
Yeah.
But
if a team came up to you, it was your buddy, and they were like, hey, we got top 32 at Anaheim, you'd be like, oh, man, that's you would be impressed, I would think.
Yeah, you know. We'll see there.
It's hard to impress Tim.
Robert in YouTube chat asks the question, Apex Solos, prediction on what character will be mained? Funny you ask that, Robert, because that was actually next on our list. As Apex Legends announced solo queue for a limited time, August 13th through the 27th. They advertise it as a limited time event. I tell you, this is a test run. They are getting a feel for it and working out the kinks before they make it official.
It won't do well.
You don't think so?
I think it'll be popular early on, but I think this is very much so a team-based game, and character design shows that. I think you're going to struggle with a lot of the same character types running around. Like, you'll have a limited in the sense of, like, there really will be better and more dynamic characters to choose in this setting. So I think this would have been better if it was a duo queue. I think they should have released a duo queue and had
kind of wean people off the trio system.
Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like a solo based game to me. I think it's you're gonna see 25 rates, another 25 pathfinders, or if not more, might even see 50 pathfinders in this type of event. I don't think that this is going to be a great experience after like the first week, or it'll, you know, run its toll over a 2 week period and people will want like, hey, give us duos, or trios is just a better way to
go. Yeah, we just
trios. It's an odd number, right? When you're with a buddy, it's nice to have a duo setting, because it's like you and me want to go play. Like, you don't.
But then we got to get that dude who doesn't have a mic and he drops alone. And
yeah.
My fear with the solo in Apex is, like we've already discussed earlier in the show, like the map is already small. And so now you're taking like all those hot drops, but making it to where no one is a teammate. I just feel like.
You're going to have nine people in every
major town. I mean, the gunfights are just going to be from every angle. Like, you won't be able to turn around without getting shot at.
You like, talk about third parting, you're going to have third, fourth, and fifth parting in most cases.
Dude, I think those are probably going to be like 10-minute matches.
This would be cool if this map was double the size and then Apex fixed some of the things that we talked about earlier. I do think the most popular character is going to be like Pathfinder, though. That mobility around the map with Pathfinder as a solo player is going to make you incredibly versatile and allow you to have map control when needed and take high ground pretty easily. So I think that'll be a popular one. I think Wraith will also be a really popular choice for solo queues.
I don't know. Excited to see, like we said, like it's, I'm not over Battle Royale games. I want Battle Royale to succeed. It's just how long are you going to give it to do that? Right, it seems like they've had enough chances as a genre. They've had enough chances to kind of take over the esports world, and it just seems like Fortnite's the only one to figure it out. In other news, boy oh boy, does Smash deliver, or does Smash deliver? You had SmashCon happen this weekend, the only event that hosts every Smash tournament apart from handheld. But every console version of Smash is held at this event. Smash 64, you had Wizrobe getting third place. Wizzy, of course, being on Team Envy now. This was the only game he actually decided to compete in for this event. He had to
Why is that?
So, and he actually came out and said why. It was actually a pretty good reason. It's because, obviously, Smash 4 is not like a marquee game, right? You're not lining at the door. Evo doesn't host it or anything like that. This is pretty much the Evo for Smash 64. Like, SmashCon really started out to be, because like the guy who made it was a Smash 64 player. So he made it to kind of pump that tires a little bit, right? To pimp out 64. So Wizzy is obviously a 64 player and said, like, look, if it just means I don't play Melee for one event this year, I'm going to do it for this event because this is the one that everyone flies in town to watch and to play. So
does he also play Ultimate?
That's a good question. I don't think like in tournaments. I just think he might. I'm sure he owns it, but
he's not competing in it.
Not like Leffen. Like Leffen really takes Ultimate almost as serious as he does Melee. Yeah. You know, he's one of the few people that are really kind of adopting it. But no, I don't think Wizzy plays Ultimate, or at least not good enough to where I know about it.
Yeah.
And I have my finger on the pulse. In Melee, speaking of Leffen, defeated HBox in 3 straight sets. Of course, just putting more fuel on that rivalry. Absolutely love it. Mango went not that great, 9th and 12th. So he kind of had an off event. And Ultimate. Boy. I don't want to say it, but I think Ultimate has finally... I think it's the Melee killer. I truly do. The viewer count was there again. They had from what I saw, peaked around 84,000-ish. It might have went more. I don't know. Just from when I saw, that's kind of what I gathered to be the highest viewer count. Not Evo numbers, but still pretty good for just a, you know, Smash Con, which isn't the, you know, it's the biggest Smash event, but from outsider's view, it's no Genesis, it's no Big House or anything like that, but still a big deal in the Smash community. Just not as widely known yet. It's relatively newer. MKLeo. Did it again, man. He did it again. So leading up to the final, he pulled the reverse sweep in the losers to knock out Tweak in the losers final. And then in the grand finals, it is unreal. And I got some numbers here from when it comes to money and everything to share. And I actually tweeted this out at the center ring to kind of discuss how this has all happened, right? But he was playing... what's his name? Sam Sora in the finals. Sam Sora, game 4, up 3-1, Anuj. 3-1 in game 4. To win it all, he just had to win.
You're talking about stock advantage, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But to win it all. Like, he had stock advantage, and he was up 2-1.
Oh, Lord.
So he had to just win.
Same situation Tweak was pretty much in last week. Evo.
At Evo. Right. Very similar situation. Like, he had it. It was the championship was his. No doubt about it. And MKLeo came back, defeated him. Like, he just... So it's tied up at this point, 2-2. And you saw it, man. Sora's face in his hands.
Over.
Just... After that match, this was his reaction. Was his face in his hands. And you just... The body language. Almost identical, you're exactly correct, to Tweak at Evo, now that I think about it, where you just saw Tweak kind of shake his head like, well, that sucks.
Like, this is like the worst possible thing that could have happened.
I had
right
that
now.
Moment, and it's gone. Like, yeah, it's not looking good for me.
They actually both tasted victory and literally had it slip out of their fingertips in back-to-back
and
events.
Just like Tweak, bracket reset, you're both in losers. MKLeo 3-0s him. Just wipes
exact
the floor
same, this
with
is like the exact same scenario.
Yeah. Like, just absolutely destroys him.
Because I think Tweak was also up 2-1 and up 3-1 to win it all and blew that match and then got swept in the finals.
I know it was a comeback. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy.
Leo again.
Joker nerf coming soon.
Dude, it's but again though, it's not. It's
I know it's not.
I know you still saw people saying like Joker's too overpowered. He's the only one using him. Like
Pokemon, and he's been down to his last stock in back-to-back tournaments where he should have gotten beat, and like, he pulled it back.
What do you want? Like that's not the character pulling it out. That's the player pulling it out. Like the dude just has nerves of steel. That's what it comes down to. So it was awesome seeing that. Going over some of the numbers here, I actually tweeted out. I actually thought it was pretty good, if you ask me. In the 9 ultimate events that Liquipedia has data for, MKLeo has earned roughly a third, a little more, actually, than what Mango has in 196 events.
That's crazy.
Out of 9 events for ultimate... That's just the 9 events for Ultimate that they have. Now, you know, Leo played Smash 4 and everything, so his career earnings is more than this. But just out of the 9 events, and that's not including Genesis, that for some reason they don't have the data for, and that's a big tournament, right? They have other events there that he's earned money for, so it's well over that. It might be half, who knows? But out of the 9 events that I could get numbers for, he has earned over a third of what Mango has earned in 196.
Well, I said it before. It'd be nice if we could get a lot of these big names all under the same game and create some fantastic tournaments.
The times have changed. You know, people are asking, is Ultimate going to be the one to take over Melee? Well, I think you saw the first domino to fall was Evo. And then even at SmashCon, Ultimate was the main event. That was, you know, lasted. It was the last one to be played. So I just
you're seeing it in viewership numbers too. It's not, you know, it's not just money, but viewership is showing that Ultimate is.
It hurts. You know, I'm sure a lot of Melee fans are yelling at the podcast right now. But I mean, come on, 9 events compared to 196. You're almost halfway to the earnings. Like,
you're
that's
not
all
doing
that's all
it
you
for
need
the money.
Know.
What are you doing it for?
Yeah, like,
you
know, do the math. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Insane, though. And it was definitely a fun, crazy event to watch for sure. What's another fun, crazy event, though, is every week when we get to do your favorite esports podcast, aka TCR, aka The Center Ring. That will do it for episode 170. Thank you for everyone who joined us in the chat. We do stream every episode live Mondays around 8:30. We're going to eventually change that though, because we are going to 2 episodes a week here soon. Soon. Just whenever we decide to get that going, really. So just keep an eye out on our Twitter, at The Center Ring, and you'll know. Join us on our Discord. The link will be found in our Twitter profile. Let us know. Be a part of that conversation. Because we love it. We love to hear from you and everything in between. We will be back next week. We'll talk some TI action as the group stage has gotten on their way at that point. We'll see what's happening with that. Recap some of the CWL worlds, what happened with that, getting a little bit closer to the major. We'll figure it out. Esports never fails us. There's always something to talk about. But that's all for next week. For Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.